You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The Around the NFL podcast gets pretty podcast privilege.
We do. Sessy from the Chris Wessling podcast studio. It's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. We got a two-hander today, joined by my longtime friend and colleague, Mark Sessler. What's up, Mark?
I am sitting in the chair for YouTube purposes. They've scrunched us closer together.
Yes.
And I'm sitting in the chair where Greg normally sits.
Yes.
And it's, you know, from a bodily angle, very awkward. I don't know where it's, I understand why I sit where I sit and Greg sits where he sits.
Yes.
Yeah. So just out of the gate, something to deal with.
That's something to fight through. And I think you will, because you are a professional broadcaster. In fact, it did just occur to me, we're probably coming up on, what would it be? I mean, we're talking about maybe the 12-year anniversary of the first show we did, the original iteration of the Around the NFL podcast, which was the ATL Debate Club, me and you in the old closet there in the Culver City offices. Things are very different now, but I think back of those days and always am thankful to Dave Damashek for giving us our start on the back of the Dave Damashek football program and those initial wild episodes of the Debate Club, which you know, was the embryo of this program.
And it was, you know, I think it was an appropriately sized project and scope. It was about 11 minutes long each time, and I think you can't even find them anymore, but like when they were available like a couple years ago, I went back and listened, and we're so like, it's like we've never spoken on mic before. It was, I think it prompted Greg at one point to tell us that if we were going to take on a project of that scope to do it professionally. I'll never forget that comment from Greg.
Right. Did Greg said that?
Yes.
Okay.
When he was
Greg, the master broadcaster that he is.
Well, no.
I always found with bosses, and Greg's on vacation still in Hawaii, well-earned vacation.
And he'll never listen to this, and don't anyone tell him.
And this is good advice to everybody. With bosses, you can listen to some things they say, and some things you just give them a little nod and be like,
"Do I think we have that tactic down in the current times?"
Today's episode is a good one. By the way, developing news. Speaking of Greg, at the beginning of our last episode, I said, got to take this opportunity with Greg out of the office and off the continental United States to dig in on Delaware, his high school band. And we have major, major movement toward the longstanding goal of hearing his high school band.
Yeah, talk about 12 years in the making.
Yes.
This has been a ongoing investigation.
We put out a call. We had named names from the band, and we have heard back from certain individuals directly tied to Greg's high school band. And I think we are closer than ever, Mark Sessler, to hearing Greg singing.
You know,
perhaps that will be an opportunity for you to say to him, if you want to be in a band, perhaps
it comes full circle.
It's time to be a little more professional.
I
that
do,
could be an opportunity.
That it, no, that would be an open door.
About
that.
Face.
I find it interesting that like really all it took was announcing on the show that we were this mattered to us. And this investigation that's been so important, there was probably a 5-year gap where we never asked anyone to unearth these tapes, and it showed up within 24 hours. So that's a lesson to us on the investigation front.
In fairness, we've gotten to this level of investigation in the past, and then we didn't take it home, but this is different.
Well, he also, I think, you know, stuck his fingers into it and blocked it on some. When he's gone, mm-hmm. Look how much progress we make on this front.
Absolutely. So stay tuned. That's all I'm going to say. Stay tuned because major developments on Hamburger. Okay, let's get into it. We're going to welcome our old friend Connor Orr to the show in a bit to hit the mailbag. But before that, let's check in with John Harbaugh. He of the proud ownership of a RV, and do a little news.
It's been great, you know? I mean, being myself, you know? Like, I always wanted to do that. It worked out great. I'm 100 feet from Greg Roman.
He has an RV as well.
He's got a better RV. G-Row's got a really, really good RV.
Yes, Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, is currently living in an RV, not a home. He's a multimillionaire. I'm sure it's a very nice RV. My wife has long pushed for the Hanses family to go on an RV vacation. I push back. I don't like driving long distances. I don't get the appeal.
She could drive a little bit, maybe.
Perhaps. But I think I'm excited. Like, you know, we started Debate Club 12 years ago. We've been doing the iteration, ATN iteration, since 2013. So we remember very clearly the Jim Harbaugh days with the San Francisco 49ers. But it's sometimes easy to forget, Mark, that there's an entire generation of young football fans that weren't really following the sport in 2014 when he left the team. Like, you guys have kids. You guys have no idea what you're in for. This guy is an interesting dude, and he's a little bit out there. And I kind of get the feeling, based on early vibes around Jimmy Harbaugh and his return to the NFL, that he kind of maybe has cranked up the weird meter even a couple more notches. We might be off the traditional 1-10 chart at this point.
Right.
And it can only, I don't know what it means for Chargers, their future, and the fans in terms of excitement, although I understand why you're excited because he's been a winner everywhere he goes. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be boring with Jim Harbaugh back.
No, and it's like an interesting study in brotherhood, because like, we both have two sons, and mm-hmm. their personalities can be similar in some ways, but very different. Like, John Harbaugh is very different to me than Jim Harbaugh. Like, I think of when they clashed in the Super Bowl, and it was like, these are totally different cats. And like, Jim Harbaugh, I think you're right. I think back in the NFL, he likes to up the dial a little and kind of zone in on that weirdness that really only he can bring. But I also think he's going to change the Chargers. I really do.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
That's Harbaugh at 9. Now we're up to 11. Like, people, yeah. I think we're taken aback by Dan Campbell as an example. You mentioned the Lions when he was very outspoken and maybe spoken a little bit of a different way than other head coaches, Jack Nicholson and Batman 1989. Wait till they get a load of me. All right. Let me hear a little more Jim from that press engagement. This is a good one too.
You know, just that mentality of that group. I mean, you know, that's like a fist. You know, there's five of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know. Playing is one on that offensive line.
I love it. I just love it. All right, let's get to it. Let's start with good news for the Rams, who add a decorated cornerback to their secondary. It is Tre'Davious White, formerly of the Bills, signs a 1-year, $8.5 million contract. The Bills dealing with some cap issues, cut ties with White. And the former first-round pick, tremendous beginning to his career, Mark. But he's dealt with some serious injuries, and staying on the field has been an issue. But you kind of get him here at a bargain. You get him on a prove-it deal for the Rams. So I think from their side of things, you know, have a backup plan if White is not able to stay on the field. Make sure you have depth in that room. But he makes a lot of sense as someone to take a flyer on, and maybe you hit big and he gets back to his old ways.
Yeah, like, why not, right? And I think, you know, some of the signings that have come in the last 48 hours are signings that make sense to me, and I kind of like that that time in free agency to pick up these veterans. I think with White, though, I mean, he's played 10 games in the last 2 years. He tore his ACL in 2021, and then last year tore his Achilles. And if we want to, you know, whistle Dixie about the fact that Kirk Cousins doesn't matter that he tore his Achilles because he's not mobile. That's not his main, like, threatening.
Which I agree with, by the way.
No, I do too. But like, a cornerback is going to need to show us that coming off of an Achilles that he's going to be able to do. But much less just not get another injury. He's just not been durable.
And let me rephrase that about Cousins. It does matter. You suffer a catastrophic lower body injury and you're in your mid 30s. We'll see. But I think he's just well suited to be able to recover from that without losing too much of his game. But you're right. As time has passed, even again, since when we started this podcast, if you tore your Achilles as a skill player or a guy that's based like running backs, for instance, it's been seen as a death sentence for a lot of players, or it was. And as a cornerback, you worry about, do they ever get back their athleticism? And that's a real question mark, and we'll see. But I also think there's been a lot of advances in the treatment and recovery process from that type of injury. So hopefully White is on the right side of things. In other news, the Panthers bring in Jadeveon Clowney, the edge rusher formerly of the Ravens and many, many other teams. He's become the preeminent mercenary of his generation, where he started his career as a first overall, heavily hyped prospect, went to Houston and had a nice run there, but, you know, he dealt with some injuries, never quite lived up to the LT-like potential put on him. But it tells you that the fact that he continues to stay in the league, even if he's never gotten that second big long-term contract, he's always welcome wherever he stops. I know he's been with the Browns, he's been with the Seahawks, now he is a stop over the Ravens, and now he is with the Panthers, who get him, and he gets a second year. And I can't remember the last, I think this is the first time since that initial rookie deal that he has a multi-year contract, 2 years, $20 million. We'll see if he plays both seasons with the Panthers, but this is a team that needed some help there after Brian Burns was traded to the Giants, and Clowney coming off perhaps his best season gives them something.
Yeah, they lost Frankie Louvu as well, who is, you know, showed up in every game. Yetur Gross-Matos went to the Niners, so they absolutely needed an edge. Clowney is awesome against the run. I think he's just one of the tougher players around. He had microfracture surgery, and that would end people's careers talking about injuries. And he came back from that last year, 9.5 sacks with the Ravens. That did come under Mike McDonald, who seemed to like turn up everyone's production to the maximum. So you always kind of wonder if you're going to go to this team. But Evero's a good defensive coordinator, and I think they needed that piece to put along Derek Brown and DJ Wanham. So why not? I think the Panthers should be adding everyone they can. They've got a lot of needs.
And maybe that second year got added because it had been widely reported that the Jets were very hot on Clowney and very motivated to sign him to replace Bryce Huff. So the Panthers perhaps going that extra year is what got the deal done. So Clowney goes to a team that's very clearly rebuilding, but he gets a little bit more financial security. I don't actually see the terms of the deal in terms of, if he will get to a second year. But the fact that he signed a two-year deal is different for Jadeveon Clowney. In other news, this was interesting, Mark. We talked about on Tuesday's show with Connie the major overhaul of the kickoff in the NFL. By the way, I read this, and we did talk about it the night of the Super Bowl, and Greg had mentioned he was sick of the kickoffs producing nothing.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
All 13
kickoffs
in the most recent Super Bowl were touchbacks. So it's funny how the playoffs, we talked about the pass interference rule. That was one and done. That was a playoff game. We talked about the overtime rules changing after the Bills Chiefs classic in the divisional playoffs where Josh Allen didn't get a chance to get on the field. Mm-hmm. That led to a change. Those postseason games are, because there's so much on the line and there's so many eyeballs on it, it's that round of football that really produces the most change. And I think that's what's happened here. After the 13 straight touchbacks, you now have a new rule where we're going to see a huge boost in kickoff returns. So the idea that the Steelers are getting Cordarrelle Patterson, arguably the greatest kick returner ever, if not obviously in the top five in that conversation, or should be, that matters a lot. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that the Steelers agreed to terms with a veteran formerly of the Falcons on a two-year, $6 million deal. And Mark, he's 33 years old, so he's an older player, but he's also someone that has always been either a gadget player or part of a scheme. So I don't think he has a ton of tread on the tires. He's coming off a run with the Falcons where he was in a rotation at running back. So this feels like a smart signing for Arthur Smith and that Steelers attack.
And I don't know if it happens necessarily here versus somewhere else without Arthur Smith, because if you look at how he was used, and Pittsburgh's a different team with different personnel, but I think Cordarrelle Patterson probably was told you were going to have more than just the kick return role here. He had 1,100 plus yards in 2021 on the ground through the air, 11 touchdowns. In 2022, less yardage, but 14 touchdowns. So I think he has got a larger part than just kick returner, but they are silver and gold now, because I think we're going to see a rash of teams looking for this role, obviously, and we don't know how impactful they're going to be, but there's a world where it takes defenses a time to figure out how to defend this kickoff return, and it could be wild. And I also think it's a great news for some of those draftable wide receivers who are maybe smaller but lightning quick, but not seen as a true two or three. They have real roles, and I think it starts to change things in it for everyone on special teams.
Yeah, can't wait to see how that all plays out. It actually makes I've never been a big fan of the preseason, but you're going to get an early look in those games. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, unless they want to hide with their, you almost don't want to give too much away, but you're right. We're going to see in general what kind of,
but those teams, you want to hide it, but also they have to
try
work
it.
On it.
You got to
a little, catch 22 there. Seth.
That is a classic
catch 22. How about a catch 22 for the Cowboys?
What else is new?
They're all in, right? What does Mike say? What does Zaddy say? ETP behind the glass.
Buy into us.
Right. They want to finally get over the hump. They want to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in a quarter century. And Cowboys fans are dying to get back to the Super Bowl, and they want this to be a big splashy offseason, but they have so much salary cap challenge because of the big names on their roster and the big salaries that are either currently due or are coming due down the line. Dak Prescott's at the front of that line, so he's their star quarterback. And he has a massive cap number. Dallas is trying to rework his contract to help free up space to do other things. So the Cowboys, this is originally reported by Field Yates, converted Dak's $5 million roster bonus to a signing bonus, and that cleared $4 million in cap. And I'm not going to try to dig deep on what this means for their ability. There's someone else better than that out there. It sounds like a really boring podcast, but I'm sure you could find a salary cap driven podcast that could satiate your hunger in that situation. But I can tell you that his number is now slashed all the way down, Mark, to $55.455 million this year. So still incredibly prohibitive in some ways. They want to perhaps do a new deal that changes and kicks the can down the line, but that has not happened yet. But here's a little bit of relief.
I mean, we saw Cleveland do this with Deshaun Watson. I mean, we've seen a little bit of that with Mahomes. It's like, this is the way you sign these massive contracts and you keep pushing the money down the line. And in some cases, until the next GM and coaching staff have to deal with it potentially. In this case, the GM is not going away. It's Jerry Jones. And I think if they truly believe in Dak, the one problem is that with each calendar year, how much more expensive does it become to sign your star quarterback? I don't know. It just feels like the Cowboys have had the weirdest offseason possible based on what they told us heading into the offseason. And I know Mike McCarthy, he was very zaddy during the owners' meetings, saying I welcome the challenge. I'm not looking at this as, something I'm not willing to take on. But I mean, how have they gotten better and how have they gotten worse? And it's I don't know. I can't take them entirely serious as a Super Bowl candidate, but also just because of exhaustion.
I agree with you.
Because in years past, we've said we would not, and then we all get pulled back in.
That's what happens.
I'm not doing it this time. It's not happening this
time. They got you last year. You last year.
I don't buy into...
Double-crossed the Sestog.
They did, and that adds, that makes it more malicious.
Very successful brand, though. That Cowboys
can't question that.
All right, let's pause right here for a minute and take a break and then get back to the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we're back. In other news, let's hear God Save the King, ETP. What do you think about ETP as a nickname? Eric the producer.
I like that.
I've been looking for one for a while.
Yeah,
I like the way it comes
nickname
out.
Nickname free, and now that's not the case.
ETP. No, maybe not with the Southern drawl.
Yeah.
ETP.
A little creepy.
That's a little bit of heat to it. Pop to it. A little sizzle.
ETP.
Hey. All right, let's get
to it. Were you actually requesting something from him? Or you're just,
I am.
You're just
I'm looking for the national anthem of the United Kingdom because our good friend Henry Hodgson, general manager of all things UK football and a major figure with the International Pathway Program, we got another fun prospect here. He is European rugby star Lewis Rees-Zammit. And I apologize if I have that incorrect.
I like the name, though.
It could be
right
Zammit. But anyway, the Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to contract terms with Rees-Zammit, who is from Wales. He participated in the NFL's International Player Pathway Pro Day last week, ran a 4.43 in the 40-yard dash. Wales is a part of the United Kingdom. Did you know that, Mark?
I did. I lived in the United Kingdom, so I'm very well-versed.
Did you? You've never mentioned that.
I'm very well-versed.
And don't forget Diana, Princess of Wales, Mark. Nailed it. Anyway, he made visits to a handful of teams before agreeing to contract terms with the Chiefs, and it ties back to Mark's story we just talked about, because this man is a very talented, dangerous player with a rugby ball in his hands. The Chiefs, according to ESPN's Adam Ticker, will look at the player as a running back or perhaps a wide receiver, and he could be a special teams player. So I think the Chiefs can rest easy now. They have found their weapon for Patrick Mahomes, and we move into another successful season.
We do. I mean, kind of a perfect landing spot just because it's completely a mystery how he'll be used, and you'd kind of trust they'll find a way. He's 6'3", 194, played for the Gloucester rugby squad.
Mm-hmm. Gloucester?
Gloucester, because that's how I say it, because when I did live in England, there was this nursery rhyme going around at the time. I mean, it was ancient, but... It was
in the early 70s?
Yeah, and like my brother used to say it, but it was Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a puddle of rain. I don't know the second line, but he visits the Queen and does a bunch of other stuff, and there's a cat involved at some point, I think. But so that he played for that where that nursery rhyme took place. He played rugby for that group, and man, he's fast. Like, I don't know. There have been a few rugby players during our time in NFL that have tested the waters, and it kind of worked and kind of didn't. But I think they're all in a better position in, like, the player pathway program is
exploding. I had an ex-girlfriend in college up in Boston that was a big fan of a seafood restaurant in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
She ate a lot of seafood.
Which is on the North Shore and Mass for people that are from there. I believe it was called The Rudder. So if you, I don't know if it's open anymore. It's 20 years ago now. But go check out The Rudder.
Send us a photo if you check it out.
Please do. All right. So we'll see. And shout out to Henry Hodgson, because
future commissioner.
It's a interesting, I think this is the next step for the NFL. You look at a sport like baseball, which is populated by so many players from throughout the globe. I'm wearing my opening day for the Yankees and the rest of MLB. This is the dugout, which is the bar where my brother, Kevin Danger, works in the Bronx, right outside Yankee Stadium. So go say hi to him at the dugout if you're a Yankee fan. But anyway, the NFL wants to continue to bring in these international players and make it a global sport, and we'll see how.
It's like there are large Lewis people does. And fast people in places outside of America, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, look at the NBA. I mean, geez, my goodness. We're going to take the gold home even anymore in the Olympics, Mark? Let us know.
I don't know. I think that's a great question. I'm not like a finally, like the dream team days. We may be in our place beyond that at this point.
Media minute. The Eagles will open the season in San Paulo, Brazil, on the Peacock Network. So all those things you saw it with a playoff game last year, it was the Bills Dolphins. That game was also on Peacock.
Chiefs Dolphins. It was that fourth coldest NFL game ever.
Yes. So this game, if you want to check out the Eagles, will be on Peacock. Amazon will also get a wild card game. So they will get that game like last year's game at Arrowhead. Hopefully better weather. By the way, there was some news that came out. This is not obviously anything. Oh, do you want to hit it? Go ahead, Eric.
It's time for the late. I always forget the script.
Go ahead. You got it.
It's time for the latest edition of the Media Minute with Dan Hanses.
Very good. There you go. ATP.
You know, when I played it, I totally was like, damn, I have no idea what I'm supposed to say.
You know what you do after the show? This will be a good thing. Go record it with this.
Right.
And then you hit the drop, and there it is.
We have the technology.
Although I have to say, I do like ETP struggling through it a little bit.
Yeah, I think
that's
that
part
was
of the fun. So let's not do that.
Okay.
Anyway, so Amazon gets the wild card game and Peacock. This is the future, man. They're going to play games overseas more and more. The streamers are going to continue to get a piece, so that's what it is.
It's certain people were freaking out over especially the Eagles opener, like Mad Dog went nuts over it. And I kind of get it for certain, but these games are still available for people to watch. They're streamed elsewhere, and like you can get to it without having just to get a subscription, by the way. I mean, it's on NFL Plus as well, which does cost.
So are we.
We are as well. But see, that's the thing. That sounds like a very sound purchase.
Mm-hmm. All right.
For anyone who's listening up on the third floor from this building, I couldn't be a bigger backer of the product.
Finally in the news, Hard Knocks news. My favorite football show. Colleen Wolf and the old Zuzzer have done a Hard Knocks podcast the past two summers. Hopefully we'll do it again with a team to be named later. I'm hearing the Bears being floated this year. Now, since 2013, they've had a strict set of rules in place for who is Hard Knocks, quote-unquote, eligible. And they've changed it this year for the first time. So it used to be teams could avoid being selected for Hard Knocks if they qualify on one of three things. Head coach change.
Right.
They've been on the show in the last 10 years, or they've made the playoffs in each of the last 2 years, either of the last 2 years, which always felt like a weird one. They got rid of that. So no longer is that a rule. Now it is first year head coach in place. They're participating in the in-season show during the upcoming year or the following season. And then they knocked it down to have appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 8 years. The other change that they're making is the in-season Hard Knocks, which, by the way, that opens up from 3 to 16 teams now eligible, with that change about the playoff teams no longer being impacted. The in-season Hard Knocks is reportedly going to a division format, which is worth a try.
Well, I kind of like that only because I thought when they had the Colts on in-season, and I think in-season's tough to deal with when you're like,
I've found that as a huge Hard Knocks fan, I've always found that challenging just because you're in the season and there's so much other football to take in. What makes the off-season training camp one so special is that it's when you're most starved and excited for football season. It's just perfectly timed, I always thought.
I think the division one works, though, because just a lot more happening. And I don't know, that for me, that might solve that show's issue in season. But
it also covers you if the team falls out of contention,
right.
or there's not a lot of juice. So
I think you're onto something with the Bears. I don't know if they seem like they would. I think it's certain teams just if they embrace the concept, like it's good for Matt Eberflus for people to know more about Matt Eberflus. You would have a rookie quarterback that's a lot of heat on them, but they did with the Browns and Baker and others as well. But now it's like could the Texans or someone like that be in? It's like a lot of intriguing concepts.
All right, we'll see what happens, and we'll be all over that when the announcement comes out. That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break and then welcome an old friend.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Welcome back to the Heat and Light podcast. I am your co-host, Mark Sessler, joined as always by my co-host, Connor Orr. And Connor, we're equal co-hosts. Just so the people understand the power structure, we're equal co-hosts.
That's always how, when we set out to do this a long time ago and inform people about the ways of the world, that's how we set it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it creates a sense of partnership there. We often, when I see you, we're on the road because you don't live here in LA and I don't live where you live. And so you're a man that travels to and fro. Have you ever been to, in your reporting days, to Antarctica to cover any sort of a story?
No, because I know the true dangers that exist there. I mean, beyond the ice and snow, there's a good chance that we're looking at deep cities beneath the caverns of ice, potentially a group of, you know, crystal people, something dealing with the future of energy and deep government secrets. So I try to stay away.
I could see why you would. You aren't alone in your concerns about this part of the world. And I was doing some reading. We like to deep dive into these subjects. And This kind of tracks back to the winter of 1947 when Admiral Richard E. Byrd claimed on a trip to Antarctica to discover a massive, like, hundreds foot wide hole that when he sunk his plane into it, essentially found that the ice and snow disappeared. It was a lush, warm, forested world with animals that had not been seen by the human eye. To your point, these crystal palaces. He met someone called the Master that warned the Earth about nuclear technology. Connor, I want to just let you know, because, you know, we're here today not just to drag up old information, but I actually have
some new information.
All right, we are back. And yes, as promised, we're going to bring in one of our very favorite men, a longtime buddy, also former colleague, and a great damn journalist, Connor Orr. Welcome back to Around the NFL. Always great.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It's great to fully realize the part three of my plan, which is to take Greg's spot. And exact a full 180 revenge from back when he was my boss at NFL Media.
A lot of Greg boss talk today. I think that sewed it up well right
there. And almost like a lot of either revenge or plotting against him. It's almost like he's made enemies along the way. He's on a well-earned vacation.
Maybe a permanent one.
Perhaps permanent, we'll based see. On this appearance. Connor, how are you, buddy? What's new in the life of Mr. Orr?
What's happening? You know, everything is good. Just dealing with a lot of flooding and power outages here in Western New Jersey, but we're living the life. It's rustic out here.
We've had a lot of storms as well, and poor weather, and more coming in here in Southern California, which is very unusual. I wonder what that's all about. Maybe something for you guys to discuss on whenever you come back with your famous offshoot podcast,
the Heat and Light podcast.
Yeah, whenever that.
Yeah, sure.
That might be a good topic. Whenever
Dan's
you guys
struggling for the name of the show.
Yeah, call it what it was, please. Thank you.
All right, with Connor here, we like to dive in and connect with our audience over on the mailbag side. And as always, a disclaimer: if this doesn't go well as a segment, it is not on us.
Not at all.
It is on you.
We typically have to save it, out of the gate. As
right.
It is, so
either the questions weren't good enough, or people that are listening be like, this segment sucks. Well, did you send in a question? So it's really, we're just calling it like we see it.
Being honest with the listeners, you know, you've got to man up sometimes.
And if the segment swims beautifully, well, that's me and Mark and Connor just being professionals and being broadcasters. So now that the everything's set, let's hit the first question. It is from Brandon Laurie. I like his handle. Brandon is right, but WRITE. If you had absolute control over the competition committee, what rule changes would you make? I like this one, Connor. I thought, and we gave the NFL some flowers on our Tuesday show, in that the league, and Wes always said this, the league has never been shy about taking chances to improve the product and make changes. Not all of them work, but at least you give them a shot. I will say my longstanding, Connor, call for more protection for the officials on personal fouls, for roughing the passer, for defenseless receiver. The game moves so fast. That getting more help there and from upstairs would only help. But that's one for me. What about you?
I've long been, so I'll blame Tom Pelissero for this. I love Tom.
The Pellraiser himself?
The Pellraiser, like maybe it was last year or the year before, had noted accurately, you know, how the NFL was really considering the 4th and 15 onside kick alternative. And I prepared so much content on my end based on just blind excitement, all the possibilities, and to have it be, and again, this isn't a knock on, like, Tom knows more about football than I could ever hope to know and the inside mechanisms of it, but got me so excited for it. And then to have it never happen was such a letdown. And it's the perfect rule. Like, And for those who don't know, right, it was the in lieu of an onside kick, you can go for it on your own 25-yard line, and it's a 4th and 15, basically. And if you lose possession, the other team basically gets the ball right inside the red zone. NFL owners who don't have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are terrified of this, and they won't vote for it because most of their quarterbacks suck. And I understand that. But just imagine, like, the entire cottage industry that could be built around that single play. Like, you could find, like, a massive, like, Cam Newton-type human being who's only really valuable for that play, where he can just, like, carry a bunch of bodies for 15 yards or, like, but maybe throw a pass. It's like, there's so many amazing things that could happen just by virtue of that moment. And you could get these great NBA Jam-type moments where maybe these teams are hitting two or three of these in a row and they're bonkers. And you can't do that with an onside kick.
And the Eagles particularly have been trying for this for years. I think it's like 10 years in a row or something. And no one, I think there is some fear out there. You're right.
And I just want to add one other thing. And I don't know, Mark, did you have one?
I have two quick ones.
Yes.
One, because I know I don't claim to come up with everything on my own. This is, we mentioned Dave Dameshek earlier. I always thought this was the most ingenious concept to prevent tanking, to prevent teams taking a dirt nap and, you know, folding tent for the last month plus of a season, is that you take the two worst teams that are vying for the number one pick, and you have them square off. And in this case, the timing of this would be unusual, but I thought maybe just a little Wednesday in between the wild card and divisional round. Not everyone needs to track it.
Well, we have Wednesday football now, so that checks out.
That fits like a glove. They would play each other, and the winner gets the number one pick. So it's like you have to fight right down to the end.
We could do it. You know where you could do it, actually? You could slot it in the old Pro Bowl spot that Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Kinda I thought about that, except that you're asking like a team to, they're kind of like doing the college thing where you're off for like 20 something days or something.
Well, don't finish amongst the worst two teams in the league. Stay out of the toilet bowl.
Here is my other one.
Yeah.
And this would take, you're talking about fear. This would take the opposite. No commercial breaks. We get through these games in about an hour and 45 minutes. And
this is not Russia.
Okay. I'm trying to think at what I want. That would be what I want. All the dads that like DVR games and they wait like an hour and a half in to like fast forward so they don't have to deal with commercials. It's like they don't have to do it anymore.
You just want the games to end as quickly as possible. I get it. But and all the people that are like, oh, and let's get rid of the chain gangs. Get off it. Can we, in this world, this digital world, where we're increasingly controlled by bots and robots and micro technology, can we just get a couple of bros with two sticks and a chain figuring something out still? Like, can we keep that? Can we make the world simple in one way? That's all I'm going to say, Connor. That's all.
Like, I don't know if I'm breaking any news here, but there are computer chips in the chains. So
you're breaking news to the two of us.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like whenever anyone's like, they need to get rid of the chain gang, it's like like we have all this technology. It's like, yeah, the technology's in the chain, so we're good. Like, yeah, does the chain break? Yeah, but like once during the Super Bowl, I think, or it happened twice during the playoffs last year, if I can remember correctly. But yeah, the technology's in there. We're good.
Breaking news for the podcast. So thank you, Connor. And that, like I said in the intro, this is a very talented journalist.
It is great sometimes. Occasionally, like the chain gang guy, A or B, you don't know which one, gets not paying attention, gets whacked by a player coming off the field, and it's just a delight to watch.
Let's hit another question. We'll finish this in about 2 hours with this, right? Bo Brooks asks, will Jordan Love win more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers? Well, he just needs to win two, but there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that have ever won two. What do you think, Connor? He's got a bright future ahead of him. What is he? He's already probably 25 or 26, right? So you got that as well to consider.
I say no. And the reason I do is because every time a team ends a season with some vague semblance of promise, we get on this just path of stupidity where we project things in an upward trajectory for no reason. Like, you know, oh, they're young and contracts and I'm pretending to talk like a GM and everything works. And like, it doesn't. We don't know how good the Packers are going to be. They'll clip this and they'll show this to me at the combine next year, I'm sure. But I don't know how good
part two.
I don't know how good the Packers are going to be in the future, but like winning two Super Bowls for any quarterback that isn't, you know, this sort of, you know, colossus of a human talent like Patrick Mahomes or, you know, Tom Brady or something like that. It's difficult. It's hard. So I would say no.
And like the career of Aaron Rodgers kind of proves the point. He won one right away and it's like, oh, he could win five or six. And you could say the Packers probably should have gotten there a number of times, but TBD.
While we're here, yeah, let's might as well address it because we did play it on the show last week, I believe, that, in my opinion, an ambush by the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light, on Connor Orr. Do we have that? Let's play that.
Jason, Connor from SI, how are you?
Hey, good, Connor. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How's everything?
Good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we...
We have the history?
No, we won a lot more games than what he predicted us to get last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You had us for two. I have it hanging up
do
in my
really?
Office. Yeah.
Oh, no.
There it is. Connor, what was the general vibe between you and Light in that spot? Was there any real tension or was it all in good fun?
No, it was funny. I mean, like, so to kind of peel everybody back behind the curtain, when you're at the combine, a lot of times, like if the GMs do the podium stuff, and if you just want to have like a casual conversation with them and, you know, not have it be quoted somewhere, sometimes I'll ask to talk to a GM or a coach, or if it's like a really niche question that I don't want to bother anybody, like, you know, you're trying to yell in a pack of people, you ask them off to the side. And so I asked for Jason Light thinking like we were talking off the record. And so we, like, you know, everything gets shuttled. I never saw a camera. And so him and I are talking and like he brings it up, which every right to do it. I mean, it was a horrible decision on my part. I picked them to win two games. They made the playoffs.
But do you think it was a coordinated attack? Like they had this in mind that they were going to have this ready and they were going to play it up on social.
See, this is what's wild to me. So they would have to assume that I was there.
Right.
And then, so I asked the PR guy, I was like, hey, can I get Jason just for a second? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So then between Jason walking off the podium and then like traveling the 11 feet over to where I was standing, they had to have like briefed him on this.
That's
and then
I mean.
Flagged down a social media person, concealed the camera, and
right.
then
gotcha.
And posted it five days after it happened, which is like, or maybe it was like 3 days after it happened. But that was the funniest part. Like I was on a jog with my neighbor and I get like text messages sent to my phone and like I'm getting dozens of text messages like, I can't believe they did that. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
what's going on? Like people from high school that I hadn't talked to in, you know, 20 years. And then I was like, I have no idea it was filmed. And so I did get a kick out of it. My parents liked it. Everyone thought it was funny, but it was just like in that moment, I was like, were you like hiding? Where was the camera? That's all I wanted to know. Really was like, where was the device? Who was filming it? And then like in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, is all the stuff that I asked him, like, did they post that too? I don't know. But yeah, no, it's fine. We're good. So
as a Syracuse graduate, one of the great programs of journalism in the country, you know, the perils of gotcha journalism. I think that was really on.
Yeah.
Turning it around on the reporter.
Not too far away from like muckraking journalism, which is a danger of its own.
But I would say in some ways, fair play by Light and company.
Here's my thing. Now you've created the public gripe about my season predictions. Every year from here on out, I'm going to predict you to win 16 games. And so would you rather live up to that? Or would you rather have poor little
you know what I see you, your know? I see where you're coming from on that, but I also have to say, just respectfully, don't let them impact your true feelings, because that means you're going to end up adjusting all of your win total for all their opponents, where you might automatically, it might be a swing of 8 to 10 games in your actual mindset. Don't let them win. You know what I mean?
I hope that Light approaches you at every future combine with a similar, you know, yes or no scenario.
All right, next. Daniel Crespo asks, every year there is always a team that surpasses expectations. Who do you think will be the surprise teams of the NFC and AFC? So we're, you know, who are the Texans this year? Who are the Rams this year? What do you think, Mark?
You know, I was looking at the list, and there aren't a lot of great options here. NFC, I thought that maybe the Commanders. I thought they've added a lot of interesting pieces. I think Quinn has experience. It's not a total fill in the blank on what kind of persona he is. We kind of know that. They have the chance to add a quarterback that could make a big difference out of the gate if he plays well. So it was that for me in the NFC. In the AFC, I think this was tougher because, like, I was looking at last year's record, and, like, the Chargers won 5 games, yet expectations seem high because of Harbaugh and your quarterback. So that's my answer there. I just didn't see a lot of other options.
I'll go, you know what, I'll throw them some flowers because I really did like their most recent move to get Snead in the building. The Titans. What if Levis does take a leap here? They have given him some structure. So that team could surprise in the AFC if a couple things go their way. What do you think, Connor?
I think the Colts are going to win the AFC South this year. I think the Colts are going to be really good. I think Anthony Richardson is going to be great. And if I were to pick a team in the NFC, okay, let's say surprise in air quotes, like if the Carolina Panthers go from a 2-win team to like an 8 or a 9-win team, would that be I think that would be a surprise. Generally, given that they weren't really able to upgrade much this offseason, but I think there's going to be a lot of improvement there too.
What does Anthony Richardson learn from that cameo in terms of protecting himself but still remaining a dangerous ally? I think it's a big-time subplot around the Colts because he's got to stay healthy for them to make that leap. Next, mailbag. All right, this from Simon King. Is West Brom's – are you aware of what's going on with around the NFL and West Bromwich, the soccer team, Connor?
Vaguely. Like, I remember learning about this dishwasher man from this podcast. So I do – like, I'm sort of vaguely
really?
in the know here.
Well, yes. Anyway, a guy in my fantasy football league owns this team. And so now they are the football team of AETN. But anyway, so is West Brom's Boiler Man mascot better than every mascot in the NFL? So for people you're watching on YouTube, you could see it, but it's quite literally a boiler that you would find in your basement or on the side of your house or what have you, with legs and arms sticking out. And that is a wild mascot. And boing, boing, I support everything they do. So I'm going to say that is a great mascot. In terms of best mascots in the NFL, I have 3. I really like he doesn't get a lot of pop, but I like Steely McBeam of the Steelers.
Does any mascot get a lot of pop? I feel like they kind of
I'll give you one.
Invisible society.
Jackson DeVille of the Jags.
Oh, you're right. That
he
one.
Is,
yep.
He is probably the biggest star of the moment in that world. But I also like, and I met him at the International Series. And
him.
Very nice man creature. Captain Fear of the Buccaneers also. I quite enjoy him. Anybody have a mascot take?
Sir Purr. And I'll say why. They I don't know why I stumbled
Sir Purr
upon
of
this,
the Panthers?
Like, Panthers. Yes. There's like a Panthers in-house video from like 9 years ago that I recently stumbled on where he's just in the office doing regular cat stuff.
Nice.
Like, and it's so funny, and I watch it probably once a week. So Sir Purr is awesome. quick sub question.
Yeah.
Is your friend who owns West Brom like a Packers fan who says he owns the Packers, or is this a real, like you're in a fantasy football league with like a billionaire?
The second one.
Whoa.
Yeah. His name is Shalin Patel, and he is seen as a savior by the fans of the Boing Boing.
Cool.
Yeah. And before we move on, if you're going to bring up Sir Purr and the Panthers, you got to hit us with one, Connor. Hit us with one.
Keep pounding.
Next. Never gets old. Can we cut that as a drop? Thank you, Eric. ATP. Guy Tomlinson asks, with Christmas so far away, does Connor watch Hallmark films through the years with different events, i.e. Valentine's, summer holidays, the 4th of July, and what have you. Great question. People that are maybe new to the show and don't know that Connor every Christmas comes on, he and his wife are religious about, no pun intended, about watching every Hallmark type holiday film they can get their eyes on, starting, I believe, the day after Thanksgiving or maybe the day after Halloween. Something insane like that.
Day after Halloween.
Yeah, that is insane, but I love you for who you are. And then all the way through to Christmas. And does it carry over to other holidays? That's a good question.
So what's funny about that is my Hallmark obsession has now, it's created like shockwave effects through my immediate family. And so my in-laws have it on all the time. And so every time we go over there for dinner now, it is on like 24 hours a day. And so by virtue of that, we have now become aware of and are very much fans of sort of the there's like a New Year's collection, a Valentine's collection, a spring collection, a summer collection with kind of all your favorite stars. And they just sort of spin it forward into different times of year, which is great.
Have you ever thought about, as a side job, writing reviews for the Vibrant publication TV Guide?
I think that my reviews of Hallmark movies would be so glowing that coming from me, it would be interpreted as like a very mean satire.
Right.
And it's really not. Like there was that really well-meaning lovely woman from like the Dakotas who reviewed an Olive Garden like 10 years ago. Do you remember this? And there was never like an Olive Garden in her like state, and she reviewed it as if it were this like breathtaking 5-star Italian restaurant, and everyone made fun of her. She was like in her 70s, and she was serious. She loved it. And imagine having an Olive Garden breadstick for the first time in your 70s. Like it's unbelievable.
Buttery heaven.
Yeah. So I think that it would probably come off a little bit like that. And I would be worried about affecting my current relationship with Hallmark, which is very good.
I think that's very fair. I do feel like watching a springtime version of that type of, that's like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like what is your hook at that point?
Well, there's a lot of people involved in the productions, actors, actresses, directors, camera people. They don't.
Right. Like what's the inciting moment? Like the trees are blooming. All right.
Love.
T-Mac asks, where do the Vikings land on the pain rankings and why are we cursed? What spirit walks the halls of US Bank Stadium? A true unsolved mystery. Now, fans of the show know that I have a real, I feel like a kinship with the Vikings and their fans. I'm again going to nominate them as team of around the NFL, which feels like a curse in its own way.
Good luck with that.
This season, especially if Sam's at QB. I'm going to refrain from answering this one, guys, because I do think this summer on around the NFL, we're going to revisit the pain rankings 9 years after the publication on our fair site. But the Vikings are still there. I'll put it there. I'll leave it there. Let's move on. But
yeah,
the pain rankings, we're going to hit that this summer on this podcast. There's a tease. Next, Colin asks, at Mets, speaking of cursed, at Mets, please save me. Kyle, here on opening day, the New York Mets aren't going to save you, bud. I say that with love.
But we don't know when he created this handle, but it's never been successful. Unless 1986 Worlds or something.
Kyle. All right. Anyway, what under 500 team in 2023 is under the most pressure in 2024? The Jets jump out to me, obviously, because they are so they are so in for this season, and there's so much pressure around Aaron Rodgers and making that work. Is there another team that jumps out to you, Mark, as a high pressure team coming off a losing season?
This was another one where I thought a lot of teams that were in turmoil had coaching changes or are about to draft quarterbacks where there's a fair amount of freshness or hope there. The Giants stood out to me because I think you're just in a situation where you went from coach of the year, playoff, surprise playoff berth to, the owner speaking kind of hot and cold about Daboll and Daboll taking it very well. And I think Daboll is a good coach. He might take over play calling duties. You know what's going on at quarterback. So I think the Giants are in a bit of a strange zone right now.
What do you think, Connor?
I would go, I don't know, this is good. I would go the Bears because if you think about what Ryan Poles has had going on, he's been able to like artfully keep extending the prestige moment where he has to show everyone what he's been working on, you know? And at some point, you know, certainly if they don't win this year, you replace the head coach. It was under my, like, November, I thought they were replacing the head coach. I mean, you know, there was a lot of people mm-hmm. who did. So I think if they don't win, you're at least replacing the head coach. And I think at some point people start wondering, okay, is this the right thing for a GM as well?
And I'll throw the Falcons out there as well. This is a team that has been trying to get back and trying to, you know, work their way back to being a truly relevant team. And they've had pieces around the last few years, but then the quarterback kind of killed them. Now they have the quarterback, that they have to develop a defense around the QB, and we're going to see if they can, because Arthur Blank obviously is counting on this team returning to the playoffs, I think, with Cousins, given the amount of money they gave the quarterback. All right, next. AFC East, where is it going? Have Buffalo and Miami peaked? How long will the New England rebuild take? Wither the Jets? All right, that's a good one, Connor. Like, with the New England rebuild, we know the Jets are very high-low. We don't know where they're going to fall. So they're a tough one to figure out, obviously. The Patriots are a team very clearly in a rebuild. I am very interested to see. I guess I still think Buffalo is a playoff team. Are they a top echelon team? And the Dolphins, to me, are one of the biggest mysteries in the league.
If I had to handicap the division today, I would probably say that Buffalo wins the division. The Jets come in second, because I do think, even though it's a high-low, I really do think Robert Saleh is a good coach. I think that he's able to, I mean, to get 7 wins or whatever they did out of that team last year was pretty phenomenal. And then I would see it being Miami third and New England a pretty distant fourth. I just think that what Miami conceptually is trying to do, it works, but it does not work for the entirety of a season. And I just think they're a little bit fundamentally flawed. Like, I think that they need to develop more of a power element. And I think the drop off at DC this offseason is pretty stark.
And you would, it's a very, you know what, I respect it, because you're hanging onions with your annual preseason, you know, guess of everyone's schedule. You go through every schedule and pick every game. You got dinged a little bit on the Patriots as well this mm-hmm. season. So you're not going to be in on New England in 24, it sounds like.
Yeah, Chris Broussard called me foolish on Fox, which was something that everyone really liked. And I'll just say this.
Hey, you put yourself out there for a living, man. You know, people need to respect you for that.
And it's one of those things where, like, all my friends were texting me after the Jason Light thing, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe how well you're handling it. My wife's like, I really can't believe how well you're handling it. And, like, inside my mind, I am plotting, like, I'm reading every reply, and I'm plotting the absolute demise. Like, someone put the Curb Your Enthusiasm music on, and I was like, I'm going to find where that person is. Like, I'm going to find their house. I'm going to disconnect the power lines. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to start moving chairs around at night while they're sleeping. Like, the violence of the old, or are you kidding me, Connor, is still very much alive in there.
So. I love that guy.
So that the all 272 predictions is a tough thing.
How long does that take? I mean, are you just kind of going off the top of your head, or are you just, you're going?
No, it takes a really long time. And then every year I get done and I have like 274 wins and 270 losses. And then you have to go through every gersh darn game again and try to figure out where it's an absolute nightmare. Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh my God. I struggled enough when I did the power rankings, and I was coming up the list of 32, and I kept on being either 33 or 31. It's like, who am I missing? Who did I put in here twice? And it would like stop me down for half an hour. I don't even know how you would do.
1 year I did all the records on like loose leaf paper, and I turned them in and they were accurate. And then I threw them away. And then later, my boss was like, hey, the social team wants to post the individual records. And so you have to go. And I was like, I don't even know, like, that would be like backtracking the equation for like the black hole. And so I literally had to start completely over again. And it was, I was a bad.
And he's got floods happening. The basement's flooding. There's weather. There's
a warrior. All right. A couple more questions to take a break, and then we'll finish up with Connor.
You go into your shower feeling tired, But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right. All right. Welcome back, Connor. Thank you for taking a crack at that one.
It's like that when I got floored by that, when the task is thrown at you, you realize it's a bit thorny.
Let's hear Mark's attempt.
Yeah. All right. We're back. The show is continuing.
Do we have Colleen's? Excuse me. Do I have Greg's?
Oh, right, everybody. What is so hard about it?
I don't know. Like, I take it as a good sign that it's not an easy thing to imitate. That's how I look at it personally.
No, you've perfected it. We're just chasing your abilities on that one.
All right, we're back. A couple more questions, and then we'll say goodbye for the week. Winfellas asks, are the Texans more likely to regress or progress in 24? I think, Connor, that kind of hits on something you said earlier. The widely held assumption seems to be that the Texans are going to make that leap and be a powerhouse this year. But a lot of things have to go right for that to happen, and the development has to continue. Obviously, the draft is still ahead of us. I would say it's more likely that they do build on last year, but the grand assumption, and in general, the idea of having a ton of expectations heaped on you, that's a different vibe than they were last year as well. So there's a lot. Don't assume. That's all.
It's a different situation. And I remember, like, I would compare CJ Stroud's theatrics towards the middle and the end of that season. Like, when the rookie of the year candidacy really started to build through the end of that season, it was a lot like early Herbert. And then I think we spent the last 3 years wondering when Herbert was going to elevate to this, like, more consistently theatrically incredible player, or when the offense was going to get built around him to be able to facilitate that. And I do think that, you know, we forget how amazing CJ Stroud was situationally last year. And those performances are sometimes like a once in a every few years kind of thing, you know, and you don't always get him in back-to-back-to-back weeks. And we don't know if he's Steph Curry yet. He might be. I think the rest of that division is getting much better and will be a lot more challenging.
They'll have a different schedule. That starts right there. But I like the fact that Bobby Slowick wasn't hired away somewhere else, that there's consistency. I get worried about quarterbacks, good or bad, like when there's a lot of coordinator shifts. But they lost Tank Dell for a big chunk of time last year. They lost Stroud for a spell and lost a game in the middle of all that. And I trust this coaching staff a lot. So they don't feel like a regression candidate to me the way that, like, a year ago, the Giants certainly seemed like they were, the Vikings winning a billion, like, you know, one score games. Like, they were legit thumping people. And both sides of the ball is a lot to like.
All right. Next. Oh, from our buddy Dave Ely from the newsroom. Hi, guys. First time, long time. Okay. With football not on, what are y'all watching right now? He's from North Carolina. Excuse him. I know Greg was big into Love is Blind. Any pop culture wrecks? I will throw out a couple. I want to give some serious flowers in the podcast game to Rob Harvilla of The Ringer. He just recently completed his 60 songs that help explain the 90s series that actually ballooned into 120 songs that explain the 90s. And it was, I thought, it advanced the medium. Put it, I will say it like that. He was a great, great storyteller, kind of an essayist, like where he wrote on not just the music and the song, but the, you know, the era, but also his personal experiences and being a lot of the reasons why, like, I do a music podcast with my buddy Bob, the Throwback Podcast, where the music becomes the soundtrack for your adolescence, and it has this powerful nostalgia that kind of keeps you connected to it as you grow older. And he really, I think, Harvilla nailed that sentiment while also giving you a varied look. It started as, I think, more slanted towards alternative rock, which was my wheelhouse when I was a teenager. Harvilla's a couple of years older, but it became, as the show developed and progressed, like our own podcast, it turned into something else. And it was a deep dive into all different genres and a great look at music and life in general. So 60 songs that,
by the way, what does wheelhouse mean?
What do you mean? What does wheelhouse mean?
What is the definition? I understand it means like it was a place that you thrived in a certain time, but why is it called wheelhouse versus like hot zone? Or I don't know. We can answer that another time, but like
red basket.
Yeah. I don't know, Mark. I don't. How about you, Mark?
It feels mechanical. I think Connor might like this. I don't know how I stumbled upon this, because I started watching it, like, it's on like HBO Max, but it's called Seeking Sister Wife. And it's these like couples that are trying to like find like a second or third or fourth mate. And it's they're not traditional, like, that's typically like a Mormon thing.
Yeah.
I've done those, but it's people just in society trying to do it. And it's like total chaos erupts. It's a roller coaster ride. I don't know.
Where can you find this?
It's on HBO, Matt. It's, I was like, you know, the surfing through 4,000 things. And I was like, oh, I'll give this one a shot. And kind of pulled me in.
Old Cessdog deep on HBO Max on a 3 a.m. I could sense it. I could feel it. Calm down, Connie. How about you, Connor?
Can I do a book or is Ely
yeah,
just
anything?
Be like, all right. Yeah. He needs to bring back his Instagram cooking show, by the way. It was really, it was fantastic.
He'll be thrilled to know that you just cited that. So
I know,
nice job by you.
I know. Yeah. So I'm halfway through Lonesome Dove, which is a book by Larry McMurtry. And it was, it's known as Stephen King's favorite book ever. And it's from 1985. It's like a classic Western, but it won the Pulitzer that year. And it is the first book I think that I can ever remember that made me laugh out loud. Like there's a lot of things. It's like a Western, there's drama, there's romance, there's a mystery, there's a plot, and there's a lot of things about life, but it's also very, very funny. So I would say like Ely should read a damn book for once. So
there you go, Dave.
That was also a TV show.
Shame on you.
For years. It had like, look at this. Who's in this? It was a series. Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones, Danny Glover, Diane Lane, and it goes on and on.
Powerhouse.
Diane Lane. Special. Special person. All right, one more. Eric Blazel asks, what are your all-time favorite sound drops from the show? Top three for me are Hanging Onions.
I hope maybe you try these onions. You'll like them. They're real sweet onions.
Hot Butts Acne. Always a favorite. That guy sucked. And of course, the great Chris Wessling standard. It's about me.
It's about me.
Those are all great. I love all those. I thought this would be a good occasion. I had originally had asked Eric to send me a couple of my favorite Sesslerisms, and that very quickly turned into we have to do a top 10 Mark Sessler drops on the podcast. So
maybe on a, maybe I just take that show off and not you can, there'll be plenty of me as is.
Without further ado, the top 10 Mark Sessler drops on Around the NFL. Number 10.
What a manufactured joke.
Number 9.
I'm having a weird day.
Number 8.
I'm annoyed now.
Oh, I love that one. I think that might be, should be higher. I'll have to think about that. Number 7.
I feel power.
What prompted that?
Number 6.
I am begging you to shut up.
Yeah, yeah, that one. That's a good, that's a classic. Number 5.
I always return.
Yes, he does. You know, that one brings me peace. When I sometimes lose Mark and he's off the grid, when I think to myself, what does he always say? I always return.
Probably was in response to a voiced concern of yours.
What are we at? Number 4? Number 4.
Heavens to Betsy.
My grandmother used to say that. That's where I picked that up.
He says that after every time we use it. He explains why he said it. My grandma used to say that.
We need a drop to explain him explaining the drop. Number 3, metal stand.
Check you later, Brock.
Number 2.
Good for you!
Oh, boy.
Let's get a little timpani drum here for the number 1 Mark Sessler drop. That is a, you know, Eric, the producer, when I said I need the good for you scream, he didn't know it was you. He didn't realize that's Mark's voice.
It was a different version of me.
I listened to it, and I was like, because he's asking for Mark drop. And I'm like, this can't be it. So I had to make sure. And I'm like, that doesn't even sound like him. And his explanation, different period of Mark.
Different Mark period. Give me a little timpani drum for the number 1 Mark Sessler drop on the Around the NFL podcast. And so many choices. And thank you to everyone. Hit it.
Football is completely different than basketball.
I knew that. I mean, that was going to be in the top 10. But thank you to everyone. Thank you to me. I produced those 10 sound bites.
You sure did.
So, you know, let's start right there.
Connor, you've said it all. Is there anything else you want to add? Any plugs, anything you want to get out there? Anything about yourself, your family, advice to that tens of thousands of listeners, use this bully pulpit as you will.
I would just say, you know, keep on keeping on, you know, I think that's,
spoken, you know, like a true, Dead End Friends fan.
Keep on trucking, everybody. You know,
you're going to see Dead End Company at, the Sphere in Vegas.
Maybe I, the Philly show felt like the culmination of, I had avoided seeing them for years. I had never seen them before, and they're my favorite band of all time. And then I saw them because it was like the final tour, and I brought my best friend with me, and we both are obsessed with it. And I was like, okay, now it's over. And that chapter of my life is done, and it can't be any better than it was. And so part of me is like, do I spend $900 to catapult myself back into Las Vegas after I just escaped and do it again? I don't know.
That's mature. Mm-hmm. Maturity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have to let it go.
Good. And finally, on opening day in Major League Baseball, Baltimore Orioles over under 94.5 wins.
Oh, over, but I'll keep this very short. I finished the book about the Astros, Winning Fixes Everything. And I was like, my God, what a bunch of horrible people. And then at the end, they're like, yeah, they're all running the Orioles now. And I was like, oh, that sucks. So like, I'm kind of like, I'm a little conflicted, you know, a little bit, you know, this is, I would have rathered us do it in a plucky way, but Maryland needs this right now. So I'm rooting for a big season from the O's.
All right, Connor. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
There he goes. The legend himself. Mark, I will be now heading off on vacation, and you're really the anchor in a lot of ways here, because I will leave, Greg will return, but you will be the calm in the storm.
Yeah, and I vow that we will not be constructing any pranks with you at the center of it while you're on a vacation. I don't think that.
I think like
Greg deserved that.
Check you later, Brock.
Just like Jason Light, fair play if there's any type of schemes that Greg wants to hatch. But it's not. I think the whole thing with the Delaware investigation, it's completely something that is a service to the audience. Ultimately.
Oh, I think so, 100%. And it, in like that across our studio, the football that you received from Clemson for your public service to apparently a group of people.
The orphaned youth of...
that's what it's morphed into. But I would put this this investigation right over on that mantle too.
All right. Hit the music. Thank you to everybody for listening, as always. And we will be back with two shows next week. You'll hear from us Tuesday. ATN will be back on Tuesday. And then back to three times a week in the march to the draft. Till then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.